Hey Brent, what's up?
Not much, Brad. How are you?
Good. I think we're just live on here, so this is the first time I think on this podcast that I've ever not talked to myself. So I'm sure people will get excited about not just hearing me ramble the whole time.
So that's a nice change, not talking to yourself.
Yeah. My wife wonders how the hell do you go on there and talk to yourself, but somehow I managed to do it. So I'm on with Brent Nord. He's pretty much the closest thing I had to a mentor, besides the owner of my firm who helped me a little bit too. His name was Dave Ellis, but Brent and I met back in Chicago a long time ago. I don't know how long's it been now?
I think it was in 2002, so
Yeah, 2000,
almost 20 years.
20 years. That's crazy. And I remember we used to ride to work together, and he had a like an old beat up Mitsubishi Eclipse, and it had a little hole in the top that was kind of patched. And this is when we were trying to make our way and figure out how to have a winning trade and go through all this stuff. And so we had a long journey together in Chicago, and I learned a lot from him. Pretty much a lot of my style was built off of the things I learned from him. And I think we've just grown and have a great friendship since then. And there's just been so many talks we've had over the years. I wish I had them all recorded. I guess today we want to just get on and chat a little bit because he and I are going to be putting out a podcast together with more examples of how we trade, and we do a lot of things similar, but some things are different too. So just kind of wanted to, I don't know, shoot the shit a little bit about how we know each other and what we've seen and done, but also kind of lead up to that podcast, which we'll give details on at the end.
Sure. Well, thanks for those kind words, Brad. That's really nice of you, but it would be a complete misnomer for everybody to think that you learned everything from me. I've learned just as much from you as you have from me. It's been kind of a team effort as we've traded throughout 20 years. And so I think it's pretty important to note that.
Yeah. I mean, it goes both ways, and I think that it's funny. We've both changed so much since, not really changed, but I mean, when I first met you, you were really pro risk taking, and not that you're not pro risk taking now, but you're much more solid with risk management than when I first met you. And I guess that's one thing that happens to you when you get a little older too. But for me, I think I had two kids now, and I know you have kids, and I've noticed being a little more risk averse when I've gotten older, but there's still a little bit of a wild streak in me. So those things change when you get older. But
Well,
yeah, I think.
that's just something I've been working on my entire career. It's something that's always been a focus of my trading, and I feel like I have a lot of room for improvement, but I feel like I have gotten better over the years just applying a few small things to my trading, but there's always room for improvement, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still have a good temper tantrum every once in a while, and lately it's been not so good for me lately in terms of that. We're just forgetting basic things about controlling your risk and your environment and the distractibility, factor that you have in your life at that time, and if you're a little emotionally off, the danger of going on tilt, and it still catches up with me regularly, actually. So you're always guarding against that.
I think that just means you're human.
Right. I mean, everyone has a different degree of it, different degree of acting out and swinging to the upside and the downside. And a lot of it's personality based, like how far you go each way. And it can be hard to deal with. And that's just, especially now when it's busy, adjusting your size and waiting for the right things and taking care of yourself after hours and all that stuff.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, it's not just like monetary capital, it's your mental capital and being able to risk manage that appropriately is so important, you
Yeah, and
know.
I remember, yeah, for sure. I remember just writing down, so I don't even know, 10 years ago, that small ball is so important. And small ball is the key to everything. And it's like, what is small ball? Small ball is just like you're trading almost too small, but you're feeling the market and you're giving yourself a chance to hang around, especially when you know it's busy, but you're not quite sure what's going on. And you end up having more size on at the right time later just because you've taken care of yourself that way.
Right. I mean, as a professional trader, your job is to be here to catch the few opportunities that present themselves throughout either the day, the month, or the year. And there's just not that many opportunities. So it's kind of keeping your powder dry, but still being active enough to be involved and pick up what's going on, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. I think it's the everyone knows the Pareto principle, like the 80-20 rule. And there's another one called, like, I forget the other ones, the 90-10. And it's like 90% of everything you consume is basically garbage, and 10% of it is the important part. And like, how much can you optimize yourself to focus on that? But you have to show up. But then it's really easy to get cluttered, and to, I think a lot of people are struggling now, when it's busy in the index, at least, with just staying patient for the right thing to come along. How do you do that? Like, is there anything that you do to not take bad signals?
Well, it's trading extra small when it's busy like this, and I'm not fully aware of what's going on, and being accepting of the fact that I might not find a trade that I like today. But no matter what, I'm not going to blow out or lose my head. I'm just going to be small until I see something. That's kind of my strategy for this type of situation. I'm
Yeah,
just
I
looking.
can't.
I'm looking for the one ball right down the middle that I can really hit. But even then, you don't always know until maybe after you're like mid-swing.
Yeah, you don't. I remember, I always tell this quick story about, I sat next to a guy who, not right next to him, but I sat next to you mostly, but a guy who was close by, who was really, we both know him, he's a really successful trader. And I remember a lot of times he would have his biggest position on long at the high of the day, and then ended up having a great day being short. And it would happen so fast that he couldn't even communicate that. And that's kind of how short-term trading works sometimes. It's like you have a scenario, you love it, and then all, and you and I talk all the time. We love it. We feel like everyone's stuck, and all of a sudden we realize that, like, oh shit, we have it wrong. And then the trade is the other way. And it's, people think that that's being flip-flopping, but it's actually part of how it works sometimes.
Right, it's just like accepting the information that you've been given from the market, and a lot of times you can't really pick up on the little tiny nuances of it unless you're actually in a trade. Now,
Exactly.
I'm not promoting always having a trade on and always being in the market. I'm just saying that's one of the benefits to trading very small.
We've
If
tried
you.
that too. Remember, you and I have tried, we went way back in the beginning in our first few years. We tried, just always, I don't know if you did, but I tried always having something on, like something really small,
Oh,
to have
yeah.
it and just sitting with it and watching it run up and down and seeing if I could feel the market. And it's just too much. There's a there's some merit to that, but not to that level, at least from my experience.
No, I think that's because it goes back to the fact that I'm a firm believer in that you have to have an opinion about where the market's headed. You can just be in it long for no reason, right? You have to have an actual reason up, and then you can decipher whether or not your reasoning is correct as the trade plays
Right.
out.
And so, from just trading for so long and joining groups and observing others, there's so many ways you can get an opinion. You and I have thought about it similar a lot of times, similarly, where it's like, okay, I did a podcast, and you and I talked about this, about the CPI recently and some of the things that happened there. We thought, everyone's buying it on the first sign of something that's not as inflationary, is not as hot inflation wise, and then there's a big rally. And then it just seemed too easy. So it was in our, we just felt like that's too easy. We're just going to go up on that. And sure enough, they squeezed all those folks out. And then the next day, they rallied them back. And we felt like we understood that sequence because of how other people were positioned and why they were positioned that way.
Right. You know what? That's actually a really good example of a little bit of more my risk management versus yours. You were able to capitalize and get short, and I knew that my long position wasn't correct, and I said, okay, I'm going to get out, but I'm not going to get short because I couldn't risk my mental capital of if I get short and it went back up. You were a little more confident in the trade, so I was really happy that you were able to capitalize on it. But that's an instance of where like I think it's going down, but I can't do this because I will be risking too much mental capital if it actually does go up.
Yeah, and I noticed, you did. You had another day where you were frustrated and you lost a moderate amount of money. And I remember you just saying, "I'm done. I can't. It's not that bad for me, but I can't let it get that bad." And just walked away. And it was fairly busy, but kind of a crappy day too at the same time. And I just, that kind of control and that kind of awareness of yourself is something that we all talk about, but it's really hard sometimes to actually do it.
Right. So I always say sometimes for me, the best trade I make is no trade at all.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You do a pretty good job too of not getting emotionally attached to when you're not there, like looking at, oh, I was gone and look what happened, or you're able to detach and go on vacation and do things like that. And I've always struggled with that a lot. my personality, I suppose. But you've done a really good job. Is there anything you could say to why that's easier for you?
I think that it's been a lifelong process of, like, I try to really compartmentalize, like, this is my work and then this is my life. I don't judge myself outside of work in my life. I don't think I'm a failure because I had a bad day of trading, or I don't think I'm fantastic because I had a good day at trading. I kind of leave it all in the office, so to say. And then when I go home, I try not to think about it too much. I'll read books and stuff like that to help educate myself. But I've practiced a long time on just compartmentalizing those two things.
I mean, and I wonder,
very separate for me.
Yeah, I think that's really important point about being just healthy, mentally healthy doing this, because this can make you feel like you're losing your mind, and it's really easy to bleed into the rest of your life. And I'm sure a lot of people have that. I have a huge struggle with this, honestly, and it's been something that has been kicking up a lot for me lately. And feeling like shit about yourself or feeling good, depending on how you've been trading, because trading can be such a big part of your life and you spend so much time on it, and you get invested in all that time about building a character around who you are based on how you're doing with what, you know, with your investment of your time. And what you just said about how you handle it is, I mean, that's something to strive for.
So, well, it didn't come for free. It did not come for free. So when I first started, I traded for probably 4 years before I met you at DE.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone through a couple of firms and had blown out. And it wasn't a fun experience. Like, I'd had a good year and then I had like three really bad years. And it was when it was bad for long stretches, it wasn't like, I felt like crap at home and I felt terrible about myself. And I was kind of in a pretty low spot when I came to the firm we were at together. And it was kind of like my last shot of like, hey, I'm really going to try hard to see if I can be the trader I want to be here. And it also allowed me to say, I can't let this affect my personal life because this is just a job and this is my last shot and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was 3 years of really not good stuff to maybe help me get to the point I'm at now, and have been for the last 20 years with able to separate the two.
Yeah.
I had to live through it to fully understand how unhealthy that was for me.
Yeah. It really hits home for me right now to hear it, because I have traded futures a long time alongside of you and similar, not quite as long, but for, I don't know, 15 years or so. And, but I've been moving a lot to have my positions last a little longer. And I've talked about a lot on the podcast about different time frames. And I've really tried to learn a lot of stuff, and it's very different. It's a different world, and the skills cross over a little bit, but not totally. And the mental health struggles and the judging yourself on things has come back with full force for me, because it's almost like it's a different job in a way. So I need to kind of relearn those lessons. And it's funny how that can continue to come back when you start something new.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's it's such a rewarding personal growth journey, but it's just brutal at times. It's like you wouldn't wish it on anybody, but if you decide to still do it, then there you are, I guess.
So Brad, let me ask you a question. Like, what are you doing right now to boost your ego? Maybe that's the wrong term, but to help yourself kind of work your way back into a really positive mindset, because I think we both know that that's like such an important part of being a successful trader.
Yeah, well, I've been wildly unsuccessful so far at doing that, but I'm starting to really put my foot down now with working on counteracting those thoughts that creep into my mind. So today is kind of the first day where I'm thinking, okay, when it comes up, then the awful stuff comes up. It's like you have to reframe it. So something that's been, you know, for me, it's been busy in the short term, but a lot of times I'm neglecting my other time frames. So I'm bouncing back and forth, and I'm kind of failing at both of them. So it's really telling myself, like, hey, you're taking a big step to be the person you want to be, the trader you want to be, by learning something new. And it's not easy to switch and learn something new. And you're doing your best to also take advantage of what you did have. But I have to remind myself when that negativity comes up that it's not easy, but I'm being like, when I look back at my life later, I'm going to be glad that I took those risks and try to realize the complete package of what I wanted to be. And this is part of the step, is kind of leaning into that fear right now and going into a place that's uncomfortable for me and making it a little harder. That's just the way I'm wired and the way I want to be. But when I meet it in the short term, it's really easy to get taken over. So I'm continually trying to turn those thoughts on their side and say, what's the upside of this? Or why am I actually doing this? And remind myself that otherwise they just run away. You start feeling like, you know, you lost it or used to have it. You don't have it anymore. And it can really go down a bad path.
Yeah, totally. Well, that's good. And are you just stepping away from some of the trades that have gotten you in trouble over the last week that have caused you to have self-doubt or whatever it is? Are you just taking a break and saying, I'm not trading that? Or are you saying, I'm still watching and I might put something on, but for the most part, I'm just not participating until I get my mindset correct?
Yeah, so my situation is a little unique that way. So the way I'm handling it is I have a short-term trading setup in front of me. I have those screens turned off, but I have my news guy on, and I have an awareness of what might pull me in. And I'll check every once in a while, but I'm trying to like dig into some of the bigger picture stuff I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. And then if it's a Fed day or a CPI day, or it's extraordinarily busy in the morning, then I'll just be more at the short-term setup and I'll be looking at that. And then I'll remember that Pareto principle stuff where it's like most of the time in the short term, I'm going to make my money on a few of these busier days. So I need to be ready for those days. And I'm going to miss some of the other stuff. But if I go all the way into the short term, then I go zero on the other stuff and I'm not really growing into the person I want to be. So it's really easy to get tripped up and kind of be, I would say, half in at each, and then you're kind of bad at each. So I'm trying to honor myself that way with how I can manage it. It has not been easy, but it's something that I want to try to do. So I'm working on it.
Right. So you're just kind of paying attention to the old school futures trading, but really focus still on the stuff you want to get better at.
Exactly. Yep.
I think that's smart.
Yeah. And it's not, and you know, some would say, well, why would you do that? Just do what you do. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I have there's a calling inside of me that wants to try to do these things. And I've had that for probably 4 or 5 years now. So I'm just trying to honor the calling, and it's just like a desire or motivation. And sometimes I had some really good periods with it, and I had some bad periods with it. And sometimes when I'm in the short-term stuff, what I'll do is this is the way my wife described it, and it was dead on. It was like, she's like, you're the guy who used to run the 200 meter race and be really good at it because you would train and stretch and everything. And now you think you can just lace up your shoes and run out there without stretching and win the 200 meter race, and you're getting your ass kicked by other people. And so it's kind of like, I can do it, but I need to really do it. I need to be there and be prepared and be ready. And sometimes I'm just coming in half-brained and thinking I can step in and step out. And it's, as you know, this is very competitive, very difficult, and you have to be focused on what you're doing.
Yes, exactly. I mean, this is it's not easy. It's not something you can just be like, I'm going to come in and do what I want to do, and it's fine. It takes actual preparation, and I think you know that too. And your preparation might be quicker now, but I think it still requires you to have a mental preparation and a knowledge-based preparation for what's actually going on.
Yep.
Right?
It is. It definitely is. Yeah. And it helps me when I'm on my game. I'm thinking, we talked about this in the day trading stuff. I'm thinking 3 hours ahead. And the other stuff, it's 3 days or 3 weeks ahead. So it's like, I want to know, I want to think down the road, because the market often will move many weeks ahead of things, and into Fed meetings or inflation reports. And a lot of times you're so just horse blinders on the exact moment that you're not thinking about like what's getting positioned and what's getting priced in. So moving to a longer time frame has kind of helped me remember that stuff more. But so there's been, eventually I think I'll put it together and kind of be able to add a new skill set and then have both. But it's learning something new, it's hard. It just is.
Well, that's something that I've always respected about you, is your ability to, and your desire to explore all the different avenues of trading and investing, and to not be scared to branch out and find new opportunities. That's something I've not been as open to.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. It's not necessarily even, it's not good or bad. It's just, it is what you're doing. You know, it's just what you feel called to do yourself. I thought for one, I never thought I would do it a while ago, maybe 10 years ago or even less. I didn't have an interest. It just kind of started coming up more as, okay, this is the challenge I want to take on now, and it's different. So like we always, the analogy, you know, the you can compare it to running a short race, 100, and then you're running the mile or whatever. I mean, it's, they're different. They're
Yeah,
very
very
different.
different.
So, yeah, and bouncing back and forth can be hard too, even if you've been successful at both. So it's ultimately it all pools together and you become stronger everywhere. But it's, you mean being good at one time frame is a life's work, it seems like. Being good at a few time frames is it's just more stuff.
Right. A lot more stuff.
Yeah. So in terms of you and I talking on here, we can just shoot the shit like this and talk, and I think that there's a lot of good stuff we could do. We talk so much more on the phone trading during the day sometimes about these things, and so I think people would be interested in just a lot of those conversations. But also we're gonna have a different podcast, and we don't have that set up yet, but we're gonna be having it have it come out soon and kind of focus more on setups that we're gonna do, and we're gonna put that as a premium podcast, and the cost won't be that high. It'll be reasonable for people, but it'll be something that they can understand more of, like, what do you guys do to make money? Like, how do you, why buy here? Why get out there? And what setups? Because I think we think a little differently. And I don't know. I think people are going to enjoy that because it's not, we use technicals, but we also think about positioning and where people are stuck and other things that I think is useful.
Yeah, and we'll cover other stuff like risk management tactics and some preparation stuff, and even maybe go over some technicals and how to use them in the way that might be a little bit different than most people use them.
Yeah, I think people can follow along too with a mouse and just kind of pause it at certain times. We can talk through the dates and the levels and all that, and make it easier to learn that way and make it fun. I think when you got to do it yourself, it's better than just having a chart in front of you sometimes.
Absolutely.
Great. So let's just leave it there for now, and then we'll come back on next time and either talk like this again, or if we have a good example, we'll start presenting the examples that we have.
Fantastic. I love it.
Sounds good. Okay, talk to you next time.
See you, Brad.